It's like an awful lot of traditional companies, long-term companies. I mentioned how my father arranged for me to go as an apprentice, which was quite common. So there are lots of family groups, sometimes three generations, working in the same company, and that builds for a family spirit. It can get eroded, and unfortunately it can get eroded very easily, and the biggest killer of all is redundancy. Now, British Aerospace have a long tradition of redundancy, Bristol's particularly. You designed an aircraft, they wanted a new airliner, you designed this thing called Britannia, you submitted the design to the government, and they would approve it, in which case you all had loads of work for years, or they would reject it in favour of another company's aircraft, in which case you were all redundant. And what happened in Bristol was that if you got made redundant from Bristol Aircraft, your skills were very suitable for the Douglas Motorcycle Company and the Dennis Fire Engine Companies up at Brislington, over that side of town. So you went to work for them. And then when they'd made the latest design of fire engine or motorcycle, work fell off, you got made redundant from there, you went back to Bristol, by that time had a new contract. And you weren't actually unemployed at all. You just went from company to company back again. And my father actually never moved from British Aerospace. But in later years, well, I got redundancy, it got very bitter. You build up this team spirit and you just sack everybody because whatever. There are lots of pet theories going around as why we all got the sack in the early 90s. But it's all to do with the financial situation and structure of British Aerospace PLC rather than the welfare of the individual. So I mean, redundancy is a terrible thing. You throw people out of work and they've been loyal to you for generations. And we would say, why is it it's always the workers that go, never the managers? It's quite often. So that doesn't help. That drags it down. Takeovers from different companies. It's always very depressing when there's large-scale redundancy going on and you don't know whether you or your neighbour or the guy across the road is going to be thrown out of work. They brought in regulations sometime. Like, by the time I got made redundant, you had been told 6 months in advance that you were going to be made redundant. So you knew you were going to be made redundant, so you had a bit of warning before you did so. It's quite funny when they made us all redundant. I actually got offered a job in steam engine, but the only guy in IT that did. I didn't want to go there. So. But they made a mistake. They told everybody they were going to be made redundant in 6 months' time. And it was 3 months before they remembered to lock the gates, in effect. And an awful lot of property. They were told that all our desks and all our computers, everything would be trashed. They wouldn't be used elsewhere in British Aerospace. They would just shut up shop, dump the lot. It was more economical in British Aerospace to just junk everything. So people thought, fair enough, I'll take mine home. I know a guy took his entire desk home, took it apart, unscrewed it all, flat packed it, took out the boot of his car bit by bit. Entire desk. People took all sorts of things home before the company thought, well, hang on, we better start checking all these cars that had gone out through the gate. Because they used to do spot checks on the gates. They couldn't stop every car. The traffic jam would be enormous. So they would do spot checks. It was a major problem. But there are some very, very famous instances. There was one when they were building Britannias. And on the Friday, they had a consignment of some 30 or 40 radio sets for putting in the aircraft. Monday morning, they were all gone. Every last one had gone. There's another case where they did an aerial survey of Filton and the surrounding district. I think they were looking basically for heat emissions and so on. And they noticed all these dead spots scattered around the area. Radar dead spots. And when they went and investigated them, they found they were fiberglass nose cones that people had turned into mini greenhouses. They were growing tomatoes in them and things like that. And there was one case that they did some work on the research into vertical takeoff aircraft. So it tells you how long ago it was. And they built an aircraft that had one of these had an X-57K number, but didn't have a name. And they built a full-size mock-up out of high-quality wood, mahogany, best mahogany and timbers full-size wooden airplane. And when all the tests and wind tunnel things have been done, they said to the Ministry of Defence, what do you want done with this mock-up? And they said, well, if you keep it for us, we'll pay you rent, obviously, for storing it for us, because we might want it someday. So they took it over to the 501, the little block of buildings over by Cripps Causeway, over used to be the 501 Hurricane Squadron during the war. Still looks like a little barracks ground. And they put it in a flight shed, air-conditioned flight shed, got it, locked the doors, and went away and left it. About 5 or 6 years later, the Ministry rang and said, remember that X-57-Y mock-up that you did for us? They said, yeah. And they said, well, I think we're going to use it now. We want to put it in the Science Museum. Okay, so they went off to the shed, they unlocked the door and they opened it. And all there was in there was a little notice saying X-51-whatever it was. The entire full life-size aircraft made out of wood had gone. Because it was prime mahogany, beautiful timber, polished and smooth and lovely. The whole thing had gone.